You asked for it. Here it is. It's a podcast from Apathetic Enthusiasm.
In this episode, we are discussing things, stuff. I don't even have it open. It's going to be fast and loose on this Apathetic Enthusiasm.
Yes, on this Apathetic Enthusiasm, brought to you from the year 2022. It's been a while since we've talked to any of you. Or
it's been a while.
Had you listen to us? Because Brandon has been kind of doing his own thing and not really recording and doing...
Yeah, he's a drifter. The wind.
Doing some D&D stuff with John. John Kaufelt wanted to do a one-shot with his current campaign. And I've been poking him for the last year or whatever, like, let me come in. And eventually he relented and I'm like, okay, all right, create a character anyway. So I did that the last couple weeks, and that was fun. That's all there is to say about that.
Good, appreciate the invite. Hey everybody, I'm Travis. He's Brandon. Welcome to Apathetic Enthusiasm. This is the podcast where we hang out, we talk about the things we've been doing. Hopefully that's interesting to you. Otherwise, why would you be here? We appreciate you being here. And if you want to keep up with us and all the things that we're doing over on social media, there are plenty of ways you can do that. Head over to Twitter at Apathusiast. I am at Joe Gomino. He is at Barnyard Cruise. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/apatheticenthusiasmshow, or send us an email with your thoughts, requests, suggestions over at apatheticenthusiasmshow@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. We are on Instagram, apathetic_enthusiasm. You can also find our website, apatheticenthusiasm.com. where you can get this podcast plus interdimensional RSS. Rounding the Bases probably still has some episodes out there. You know, dig back into the vault if you're interested. You can find us live streaming over at twitch.tv/apatheticenthusiasm. Normally on Monday nights, tonight on a Tuesday night, why don't you give us a follow over there on Twitch so you can always catch when we are going live and streaming new content. If you miss any episodes, you can go to youtube.com/apatheticenthusiasm, where you can get video versions of all of our episodes. One final big thank you to all of the patrons over at patreon.com/apatheticenthusiasm. Thank you for supporting the show. If you would like to be a patron, head out over to that website and join up. Join the Apathetic Enthusiasm Army, Homestarmy.
We would absolutely love to have you here listening to Apathetic Enthusiasm. If you like Rick and Morty, if you like any of those things, please hang out with us. We love
friends.
We really need you as a friend.
The reality is we're always in these chairs.
It's true.
The rest of the whole week. So
it's true.
This is the only moment when we really like get out and get to communicate with everybody.
I want to say for our friends who are in the Twitch, in throwing this out there for FOMO, for people out there in the fold listening, this episode is brought to you by Brandon's multicam, where he has two cameras in the stream right now, one from his MacBook, one from his webcam. And so I just really want to thank you for being part of the show and being integral to the success. Anyways, Travis, go ahead. What are we talking about today?
All right, let's revisit a couple of past topics real quick. One of the things that we talked about in a previous episode is, of course, the Netflix blockbuster event that is Stranger Things season 4. It's been a couple of weeks now since part 2 went live over on Netflix, and we watched both of them episodes. The final season finale episode was like 2 hours long or something. It was basically the length of a major motion picture. We discussed where the show was going and what we thought of it prior to that mid-season break. Now that the entire season is complete, Brandon, what are your thoughts on Stranger Things season 4? I have a sincere feeling that most of this episode is going to be me talking at you while you figure out the next camera trick that you work on.
No.
And then you executing that as soon as I throw the ball back over to you.
No, that's not true at all. No, so the Stranger Things stuff, you started watching it before I did, and I knew that the episodes were so long in that first, what, one through six episodes? One through seven episodes? Whatever it was.
And I think it was seven episodes.
Yeah. Okay. And oftentimes when people are into a show already, it's kind of daunting to be like, oh, crap, now I got to catch up and I've got to spend all of these hours as it is. Knowing that the Stranger Things stuff, each episode was, you know, basically an hour and a half, a mini movie unto themselves, I was hesitant to get into it. But eventually I sat down with Chelsea and we watched an episode and then we watched another episode. And thankfully I'm on vacation right now, so it made it a little bit easier to catch up. We caught up just in time for episodes 8 and 9 to be released. And so then we finished it up. I will say about this season, the first half, when Vecna is introduced, and there's a lot more of a horror aspect to it at the start, that I think starts to dwindle off as it gets further into the season. And when I say dwindle, I also refer to some of the side plots that somehow are meant to tie back into the main A plot. Those parts, especially binge watching, you're like, yeah, let me know more about what's happening in Russia, the Soviet Union. Nope. That's what I want to know more about. No Vecna stuff. Tell me more about the Soviet Union. So that stuff started to wear on me a little bit. But I mean, overall, I thought I don't know if it's recency bias or what have you, but I feel like I enjoyed this season more than I enjoyed season 3, because I don't actually remember what happened in season 3 necessarily, other than the flashbacks.
Yeah, I do feel like I the Russia scenes notwithstanding. I did enjoy season 4 more. I'm tempted to, probably before the 5th and final season is released, go back and like rewatch seasons 1 through 4 just to kind of set my reference for all of it.
Yeah.
I didn't do that with seasons 3 or 4, but I feel like I don't know if it was like the recap that they showed before, like on Netflix, like here's previously on Stranger Things, prior to the season starting or what, but I don't know. I feel like season 3 didn't have the same feel for me. But season 4 like seemed to go back to basics, and I really liked it. I want to talk a little bit about Eddie, right? Because he's sort of the darling of season 4, right? If you're on social media and your algorithm looks anything like mine does, a lot of the fans of the show really enjoyed Eddie as a character, and were just really distraught to see Eddie's fate at the end of the show. By the way, if you're not up to speed on Stranger Things 4, sorry, because spoilers are happening. You've had 2 weeks now, you had your chance, and the internet already ruined it. So Eddie dies, right?
Oh shit! I guess I'm not to that episode yet.
Get out. So, thank you for listening, everybody. That's been our show. Do you think he's dead?
I mean, the speculation, which is, like, oh well, the bats don't kill with their bite, but people can bleed out. I mean, the one dude, whatever that one kid, his close friend, is Justin. like is Dustin. Yeah. Is like right there with him. So it would hard for me to be like, he's not dead. But the speculation out there is that sticking with the whole D&D lore type thing, there's some character that is like works with the big bad, who then turns good again eventually, something like that, whatever. I think he's dead. I'm okay with him being dead. Whatever. I mean, what do you think?
Cass the bloody handed, is that who it is?
That's right.
Yeah, so that is the vampiric apprentice of Vecna in D&D lore. So there's a lot of people holding out hope online that because bats were involved with his death, right? You can almost call it no body, no death, sort of. Like, he's definitely there. He's hurt, like he's dying in the scene. But then, like, we don't know what happens with that body. Does Dustin, like, somehow muscle him through that portal in the roof out of the upside down? Does he have to leave him in the upside down, right? He's considered missing, right? Like, his dad is putting up a missing poster still.
His uncle,
at the end of the episode. So maybe his body is still there, and maybe he turns into an upside down vampire.
Maybe Dustin ate him, right? He was, because he didn't get out of the upside down right away, and he was hungry.
Yeah.
You know, nobody, no death, because he doesn't want to waste the flesh.
Waste not whatnot.
Exactly right.
Yeah.
Spare the rod, spoil the appetite.
Yeah. So, the Gums McGee is the name in the chat. That
yes.
Oh, his uncle, not dad. Jeez.
Thank you, Robbie. I said I did correct Travis low key, but Travis didn't notice it.
My apologies. but yeah. So anyway, he's going to be a Metallica vampire in season 5. So
let's talk about that briefly, because I'm about to turn 40. And you're not too far behind. You're still, you know, you're a couple.
I'm so young. I have my whole life ahead of me.
But I used to walk home from high school like singing Master of Puppets, like just humming it, like on my way. End of passion play, crumbling away. I'm your source. Anyway,
like not with a Walkman, not with a CD player, not with an MP3 player. I just
knew the lyrics and I was singing it. Yeah, yeah. But that I was 15. Yeah.
Neighbors are just looking out the window, like, why is that kid talking to himself while he walks home?
And there's just bats following me. Just bats slowly following me. But like, I've heard
helping
now
to block the sun from your from your delicate skin.
Yeah, but now, like, along with the Kate Bush running up that hill, gift of God or whatever this is, where it is,
out of that building.
those two songs very popular now. And Master Puppets being very, very popular as well. Like the Kate Bush stuff, that was like, okay, people discovering that, and it's like, oh, whoa, people are discovering this new song. And to me, like, that was, I wasn't very familiar with that song. And so I guess I could see that. It's more weird to me for Master of Puppets for people to be like, whoa, I'm discovering this song for the first time. That's weird to me.
Okay. Yeah,
because
that's
because
fair.
that is my song.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess like Kate Bush has never licensed her music previously for like film or TV use. The Duffer Brothers were very convincing in wanting to basically use that as the theme for the entire season, right? And tie that in with Max's headphones and even some of like the epic sequences in the last couple episodes, you know, feature that music throughout. And so it really did become like the part of the tone for the season. And, you know, kudos to them, because not only did it make for, you know, great support for the action and all of the things they were doing, but it's blown up that song on the charts. Like, if you turn on, like, on Spotify, like a new music, like hot new music playlist, there's like an 80s song on there, like, you know. And so Kate Bush is, you know, just bringing in those royalties. Good for her. But to your point, like, we know, like, Metallica songs, like, from our youth. So it does expose it to a new generation, sort of like Nirvana in the new Batman movie, right? Like, other, you know, songs that are maybe near and dear to us from our adolescence or teenage years are now finding new life through, you know, being featured on movie soundtracks. So.
And I'm definitely okay with it. It's just a very odd thing to think about. Yeah. Anyway, awesome. I'm glad that Metallica let their music be licensed, and Ulrich, old Lars, let it happen. Side note on the Lars licensing stuff: this last episode of Westworld, there was a Enter Sandman cover on there. So, sticking with that Metallica licensing train,
opening up their ideas about digital music now. Maybe if Napster had only waited 2 decades, things could have been different.
It could have been different. Anyway, overall, going into the season, some deaths, some pacing issues, I would say.
Sure.
Fluff, too much fat. They could have cut some fat, so to speak.
Yeah.
What would you have done differently if you had all the time in the world to edit this season? How would you make it better?
Probably 40-50% of the Russia stuff just right out. Yeah, or completely rewritten. Like, if we could get like Hopper out of Russia before the mid or like late season break, even, and have them be doing something back. Like, I just, it wasn't compelling to me. It wasn't, even like the reason for them being there with that, like, sand mystic, the particles, right? That was supposed to be how they were helping from there, right? It was, they were going to affect those particles, which is going to like weaken Vecna or something. None of that made sense to me. And I was just like, all right, this is more of just like, I don't know, some comic relief at times, and a love story that could have been done in a completely different way. And none of that landed for me as much as the stuff with Eleven, like the backstory stuff with Eleven and all of that, and with One and turning into Vecna and all, like, all in with that. I really like that. Overall, I thought it was a good season, but I think there was fluff. Speaking of fluff, did you hear about the fan-made recut of Obi-Wan Kenobi, where they trimmed down the, what is it, 6-episode season into one, like, 2-hour feature film?
I have heard of that. What would you like to discuss with that? Just people.
Nathan, I just wanted to know if you'd heard of it.
Yeah.
Do you think Obi-Wan would have been better as a movie?
Do I think it would have been better as a movie? I don't know if it would have been better as a movie. Because I didn't dislike it. So.
Touché.
I don't know. I'm trying to figure out how I feel about it. I feel like it's like entitlement to be like, see, I could have done it better. And then people don't do it better. But
all right. Yeah. I think it would have been a really great Star Wars movie. I like it as a series. I will probably rewatch it as a series. And it's one of the only times my wife has watched a collection of Star Wars content with me willingly. So all good things. Finally, in our last bit of recap of old stories, the end of Diablo is how you have this written. We spent a little bit of time a few weeks ago talking about Diablo Immortal, which is the free-to-play version of Diablo that was released about a month ago. And pay-to-win, pay-to-play type deal there. They have battle passes. They have for-purchase items where you can buy better gems, which create upgraded gear and things like that. Brandon and I really got into this game very early in its release. Both of us bought the battle pass initially. And I will say over the last 4 to 5 days of that battle pass, I still had like 6 or 7 levels that I needed to unlock. And I was playing a crap ton of that game, like morning to night, just going through bounties, clearing dungeons, joining random groups, playing a ton to the point where I was like, I'm really liking this game. Like, I'm having fun with it. I'm doing all these things. This is awesome. And then I maxed out the battle pass and have played about 5 minutes of the game since. I don't know about you, Brandon, but is it the end of Diablo? Like, there's still plenty that they're going to open up in the game to try to keep people involved, keep people engaged. Higher Paragon levels are going to open up other things as well.
Here's what I say about it. Here's how I know that I'm done with Diablo. When I get little notifications on my phone and it says, "Traveler, adventurer, there's new monsters to slay in Sanctuary. We need your help." And I go, yeah, ignore that.
Swipe to dismiss.
Yeah. I'm like, okay. Because I haven't played since I played with you. And I think the last thing I wanted to do on that game was take part in a, like, a raid or whatever it was with, like, the PvP.
A shadow war?
Yeah, shadow war. That was the last thing I wanted to do, really. And I did that, and I said, okay, well, that was cheap. I guess I don't need to do that anymore. And honestly, if I log in now, I'm probably kicked from that clan for inactivity.
Same. I think I still had rank in mind the last time I checked, but it's only been like a week. So
yeah,
but I'm sure it'll change. There's a possibility I will continue to play it off and on, but I didn't buy the second battle pass, because I didn't really like the cosmetic gear that you unlock with it. So yeah, I don't know. I did enjoy going through dungeons.
I kind of wanted the battle pass to level up faster, and I leveled up to 60 already, and Paragon levels and sure, whatever, but I'm like, the rewards I felt were just like, oh cool, let me get another non-legendary gem at the next level, that type of stuff where I'm like,
And I've unlocked cool gear outside of the battle pass and like, but I realized, and it was the few times playing without the battle pass where so much of the like daily type things that it entices you to do, right? Go run an Elder Rift, go do these bounties, go clear this dungeon. All of that is tied to additional points for your battle pass. And listen, you get the battle pass for free, technically. You just get the like the lower tier one, right? So you can't get the paid additional unlocks. So that carrot is still technically there, but it's a smaller carrot for you to keep working towards and keep unlocking things and continue to progress in the game. I honestly think the weekend of me just binge playing to try and max out the previous battle pass maybe just gave me a little bit of burnout. And so I don't know, maybe a week away will cause me to get bored enough to where I'll revisit Sanctuary. And I don't know, when I'm sitting in, it is a great game to have on your mobile device.
Yeah.
I will say that if you're stuck in a waiting room, you know, you're in traffic or something. I don't know. Like, this podcast does not approve of playing video games while driving.
You can though. But it's not legal.
Yeah, it's
unless you're the passenger. If you're the passenger, it's perfectly legal. But don't be driving. Definitely don't not be driving while you're playing this game.
Absolutely. Don't not be driving when you're playing. Anyway, it's Diablo's out there. If you're playing I think our warband only has three people in it. So
to be clear, it was fun. It was a very, very fun game.
Great time. Enjoyed it.
But you know, like it's a game that it's developed to keep you grinding to higher levels, but the core gameplay never actually changes. So,
but isn't that Diablo in general?
Yeah. It is Diablo in general. And when Diablo 4 or 5, Diablo 4, when that comes out, then I will play the heck out of it for a short period of time.
For like a month.
and then be done with it.
Stop playing it completely.
Because the game is fun. But at a certain point in time, you're like, I don't need to grind anymore. Because there's no new content. I'm grinding the same dungeons and the same monsters.
I want a piece of green gear for the set.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'll play the same dungeon 800 times and hope that I get the piece of gear I want.
And, you know, we're on episode 214 of this podcast. Over 100 episodes of the Rick and Morty podcast. And just like that, I don't want to keep doing the same thing over and over again. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And that's why this is the last. No, I'm just kidding.
Congratulations.
All right. That's it for Diablo. If you like Diablo, if you still enjoy playing it, send us an invite to your clan. so long as it's Shadows and not Immortals, because otherwise, we're not about that life.
Yeah.
Let's move into new business.
Yeah. Shadows. Let's talk about Shadows real quick. So I was.
That's right. Raid Shadow Legends. This episode is brought to you by Raid. It's not. They don't pay us. They don't sponsor us. Don't play that game.
No.
Just don't.
No. Please don't do it. We were talking about some aspects of Diablo, talking about like the Shadow War and all that type of stuff. Completely unrelated, with the exception of Shadow in the name of it. Over on Xbox.
Shadow knows.
Alec Baldwin in his greatest role. The Xbox came out, Xbox Game Pass, they came out with the Shadowrun trilogy, which is a CRPG. I don't actually know what the C stands for. Originally on the PC over on Steam, it is now on the Xbox Game Pass. And this is it's a game that's way more along the lines of like Baldur's Gate or Neverwinter Nights, not the MMOR. PG, but the original Neverwinter Nights, where it's kind of isometric. It gets into like some turn-based combat. There's lots of text. There's not voice. And it goes through branching dialogue, and you have a party of characters that you can kind of command them to do certain things. I downloaded originally when this game came out. I think it came out like 2014 2015. I played it on Steam and I got bored. I was like really excited for Shadowrun to come out, and then they got bored and stopped playing it, and so when it came on Game Pass, I'm like, okay, I'm on vacation, I'm going to play through at least one of these games now on vacation. Going back in time briefly, there was a Shadowrun game for the Sega Genesis that I always tried to get into. I rented it a few times and never got very far into it. But Shadowrun was always a fascinating kind of game for me. when I worked at Vaughn's at Safeway supermarket, whatever, I worked with this guy, Clint, and he talked about playing Shadowrun. It's basically like D&D. It's like a cyberpunk D&D game. And it always sounded so, so cool to me. So playing that Sega Genesis game, talking to Clint about Shadowrun, it being like D&D related, I've always really been hip, keen to be in this cyberpunk. Like, it's what attracts me to that thing. So anyways, I started playing Shadowrun Dragonfall, which is the second game of the trilogy. And I played the hell out of that thing, man. I knocked it out in like 3 days. And it's not a short game either. And it's lots of reading. Like, after a while, you're like, click, 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 click.
I have some gameplay footage up on the screen. So is it sort of like that, like an isometric kind of like, I don't know, not top down view, but like angled like view of this, and you're like running. Okay.
Yep.
I have never heard of this game before right now.
Have you never heard of Shadowrun in general?
No, I've never gotten into it or known about it.
Yeah, so Shadowrun originated as a tabletop role playing game, just as same as D&D. Okay. And it takes place in this cyberpunk world. And so there's orcs, there's trolls, there are elves, there are all those things, but it's in a futuristic landscape. And we're kind of like Cyberpunk 2020, whatever, like in it kind of with that feel, or Blade Runner-ish.
Sure.
Run by corporations. And there's a kind of sub game in there where the Shadowrunners, which is like these teams of mercenaries, they can also hack into systems. And so then there's like this internet aspect of it, like breaking in and hacking into systems. And when you go into a system, it has a persona. It has your persona, your digital persona in there. And it's basically continuing on with that similar style isometric combat.
Hmm.
It's cool to me. Enjoy the game.
Looking at the gameplay, it looks kind of cool. You said it's out on Game Pass.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
And I just started Shadowrun Hong Kong last night.
Ayo. All right. Cool.
So, yeah.
Is it a series that is still being like developed, or is it all just old stuff? I mean, sort of.
The Hong Kong one came out, I think, maybe 2018 or 2019. I don't think they're making any new games for it. But
yeah,
there was like a first person shooter, kind of like Overwatch-ish Shadowrun game that came out maybe about 6 to 8 years ago. That wasn't necessarily super successful, but they keep making Shadowrun stuff, like trying to break it into a much broader audience. But I don't think they've been successful so far.
Finally, on this topic, if you had two guesses for what the C stood for in CRPG, what would be your guesses?
Cyber?
Nope.
Damn, no. I don't want to guess the second one. Character?
No, it originally stood for computer.
Oh. So
computer RPG. Because back in the day, that was a unique thing, right? But over time, the term classic RPG is also become popular, because the early CRPGs are now becoming classic games. So, but originally, CRPG is still for computer.
Interesting. Thank you for that. That is good. That is good to know.
Welcome. That's what you come here for on Apathetic Enthusiasm, your random trivia and knowledge. Well, we'll move from one cyberpunk, post-apocalyptic landscape to another, with yet another TV series currently being released. That is, of course, Westworld.
Oh, yeah.
Season what? Four?
Season four. Yeah, we're in season four of it now.
When was the last time I watched that? Westworld. I think I watched some season two.
I feel like you got through season two.
Did I get through season two?
Yeah,
maybe I did. Maybe
I don't. I don't think you
didn't watch a lick of three though.
You didn't see what's his face from Breaking Bad? You didn't see any episodes with him?
No, I did.
Okay, so you've seen so you've seen at least an episode of season three.
Maybe I just saw trailers for it. Oh. I don't know.
Mm. Yeah, that's
bad. Anyway, that's enough Westworld. Bob's Burgers, the movie, available on HBO. I haven't seen
haven't seen a lick of it.
I do plan on watching that over the next couple of days. But tell me about Westworld season four.
Oh.
How's the show going?
Yeah, see, here's how I jumped back into Westworld. Because I watched two episodes maybe of season three, and I don't know why I didn't stick with it. Maybe it was Westworld burnout. Maybe it was like I wasn't ready to get back into like trying to being mind fucked all the time. Like I wasn't really quite ready for that. So I don't know why I skipped season three. But as it kept going on, the reviews of it were not great. And I was like, oh well, Westworld will never be a thing again. Why I shouldn't watch it now. But then news of a season four came out. I'm like, oh, well, shoot. HBO Max comes out. They release the new season. And I think, well, let me at least go back to Wikipedia and find out what happened in season three.
The old Brandon way to watch.
I wanted a recap. I didn't want to watch season three. I just wanted to just tell me what happened. And I think that's the best way to experience season three, because what I've read, season three is very linear. It didn't have all that mind fuckery in it as seasons one and season two had. And so like you could read the summary and be like, okay, I followed everything that happened, and it being a good primer for you to come into season four. So season four started and it's good. It's three episodes in now.
They aren't like still in the theme park, right? Like
no.
It's like way out of that now.
No. Yeah. So season three, they're out of the theme park entirely. It's in the real world, and Dolores is doing something. And then a Charlotte, clone, but it's actually a clone of Dolores in Charlotte's body. Who's, she's married to Taika Waititi. Anyways, stuff happens in there that entire season. Fake Dolores turns bad, and then main Dolores sacrifices herself, and then Breaking Bad dude and Tandy Newton, they survive. Blah, 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 blah. Bernard survives. Season four rolls around. Three episodes in, we finally see Bernard, see what he's been up to. Dolores is back, the actress who plays Dolores, but she's not an actual Dolores. She's playing a character named Christine, and so we don't know what the deal is with her, but like Christine is in like a kind of video game place where she's developing narratives for characters, and there's some shady stuff there. There's the mindfuckery's back, but I'm ready for it this time. I'm good with it.
You're emotionally prepared for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And they are back in the park. But that's
that may be a draw for me.
so I do recommend it if you skip season three for whatever reason. So far, season four has been pretty solid, and that theme music, even if the show itself sucks, that I always sit through the opening credits, because it just how that theme builds on itself and automates itself is just very, very, very cool.
Yeah, I'll have to give it a shot once I'm done watching Bob's Burgers and Last Night in Soho, now streaming on HBO Max as well.
Watch it again. So, it's very good.
I do intend to.
Perfect sound design.
Perfect sound design. Also, what is it? End of the World or World's End?
The World's End. Not at World's End. I kept getting that confused, but that's a Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
Yeah.
At World's End. The World's End is the other Edgar Wright film with Simon Pegg.
All right. Cool.
We watched that too.
any other Westworld thoughts?
No, no, none at all.
All right. Well, let's move into new business. We're already in business. That's a joke. Let's talk about the world around us, or really the world
beyond us.
Not beyond us, right? Ooh, the great beyond. That's right. The James Webb.
James Wubba Lubba Dub Dub Telescope.
The Wubba Lubba Space Tubba. Yeah, James Webb Space Telescope. We got pics. Okay. Rate your level of excitement prior to these pics coming out.
1 to 10. I'll say like 3. Cause I'm like, oh, okay. Like we've seen.
Did not care at all.
Like we've seen it. We've seen the universe. We've seen pictures of the universe. Like,
been there, seen them.
Yeah. All right. Make me excited, NASA. Yeah.
Impress me.
Impress. This impression is your oyster. Just show me what you got. Show me what you got. After I saw the first images, I'm like, oh my God, it's like not excited, but just like an awe, I guess I could say.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Those images.
I will say I saw the first one that got released like a night or two ago.
Mm-hmm.
And like it really was fascinating how much this telescope is able to capture in such a even small percentage of the night sky, right? Or you know, from a given point, mm-hmm. the amount of space that's out there. That its use of ultraviolet photography to be able to capture galaxies, some of the first galaxies ever, and that are so far away that their actual like normal light doesn't get to us anymore and things like that. It's insane, right? But I'm like, that's cool, but like the picture itself was kind of like, all right, it's just like a lot of cool dots.
Swirly dots. There's some swirly dots.
To see if that one's on here. Yeah, that was this one. This was the image that I have up on the stream, right? But this image and
of the cosmic cliffs.
Yes. Looks like the cover of a
sci-fi book.
A sci-fi novel, right?
Yeah.
Like I'm gonna probably take this image and make it like our thumbnail for this video. And I'll just put some titles over it and then like it'll be good. It'll look like it's probably copyrighted or something.
Yeah.
Probably can't use it.
But that's what gets me is like we've seen art like this, right? We've seen renditions of art like this. But this is an actual image. Like that's what it actually looks like. And we shot something into space and it's traveling however fast and capturing these images and sending those images back to us, back to our peeps here on Earth, is, I mean, just the technology and the awe. And it's crazy. It's crazy to see that. It's crazy to think, to not think. It's crazy to me for anybody to be like, well, yeah, but we're still alone. And like the possibilities of nothing else existing out there, basically zero at this point in time, based on these images, you know.
What do the people keep saying? It's like if you stood and took a grain of sand, right, and held it out like at arm's length away from you up to the night sky. That what that grain of sand is covering is like how much of that original image that was released is showing. Like, that's how, so all of the stuff that's like all of the stars, the galaxies, everything that's in that, it's just, it is, it's mind boggling to comprehend how much there is. And yeah, so it's really cool. It's like, it's a cool like human moment, right? Mm-hmm. To be like, oh, we successfully took a super delicate, you know, structure, launched it off of our rock out into out into the nothing, and now we're using it to take pictures, and that people are going to use as their, like, you know, Facebook wallpapers and stuff. Like, it's really special, you know, when you think about it.
Yeah. How many Twitter accounts do you think people are making now for James Webb, the telescope itself, as if it's an actual person?
I'm sure there's so many bots already.
Yeah, let's do it. Oh, you're right. No, but so this is awesome, and I'm really interested to see how they, like, what comes next, like what we continue to see, because they're not just gathering the images, right? They're gathering data. Like they talked about seeing like the makeup of certain, you know, galaxies, solar systems, whatever, and like, you know, traces of what could be steam or water. You know, that it's just fascinating how they've developed this. I mean, I programmed an Excel spreadsheet, so I feel like maybe I'm like one step behind the engineers.
Yeah,
that
it's
developed
humbling.
This.
Humbling. Yeah. But if they ever need a certified Scrum product owner, you can call me up now.
So. Yeah, yeah. If they need a Scrum Master certified professional.
Yeah, where are your guys? Go ahead and bring us on the team. We'll wear the white pajamas, and the clean suits.
Yeah. We'll I'll do some customer interviews, you know?
I'll prioritize your backlog.
Ruthlessly, I'll prioritize your NASA backlog.
That got weird. Well, congratulations to NASA, and mm-hmm.
Thanks for listening.
And the James Webb Space Telescope team, and humanity for all your hard work. Well done.
And speaking,
everything else is awful, but this is great.
No, you can't say that, because Iron Chef just came out with a new season on Netflix. So not everything is awful.
What? Iron Chef is on Netflix now?
Yeah, you didn't hear about this?
You didn't... No. I missed it when I was watching Stranger Things.
Yes, Iron Chef is back with a brand new season, only on Netflix.com. Yeah.
You can't watch it on your phone. You can only go to the web browser.
Yeah, but only through like a Roku TV browser. But yeah, so Iron Chef is back. Alton Brown is back to host with I forget her first name, but her last name is Kish. Doing some co-hosting. Three judges, one guest judge, two primary other judges, and a new slate of Iron Chefs. Marcus Samuelson might be the only one that I have recognized from anything else. I think that might be from Chopped, not necessarily Iron Chef. But yeah, and then of course the chairman is back as well to host things. Are you
Curtis Stone is one of the Iron Chefs?
Yeah. Do you know who Curtis Stone is?
I do, because he used to host a cooking show that my wife and I used to watch. And I do not remember what it's called, but the premise of it is he would go to grocery stores, right? Okay. And he would be like wandering around the grocery store, and then he would pick out some unsuspecting person, someone that's like shopping, like maybe they're in the produce section and they're looking for certain things. They don't seem to know what they want or whatever. And then he would talk to them, be like, hey, are you like cooking for something special? Are you doing, you know, and then he would offer to buy their groceries if he could go with them back to their house and cook the food for them. So like they would do the cooking show in these random people's houses, and he would use their kitchens with whatever equipment's in there and things like that. So it was kind of a cool premise because it would show what is possible. Like if you took home chef, that's the name of the show, Take Home Chef. And he's not in a kitchen, like a restaurant kitchen with all sorts of fancy gadgets or anything, but he can take what you have and still make a really, you know, impressive meal or things like that. So it was cool. But I mean, it seems like a good guy, but I didn't know he's an Iron Chef.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know the logistics of how people actually become Iron Chefs.
Is there an accreditation process for becoming an Iron Chef? Yeah.
Do you have to take a test? Is it like a 3-hour test, like a written exam? And you just
have to convince Alton Brown.
Yeah.
You sit down in a room. It's just two steel chairs, nothing on the walls. It's completely bare. And Alton Brown just looks at you for an hour and then decides... yeah, he's an Iron Chef.
And if you say anything about any food or preparation, he stops you, he corrects you, and then he asks you to leave. you're not one of us.
That's what happened to Bobby Flay.
Bobby Flay kept losing against his challengers. Obviously not a great cook. But yeah, so Iron Chef is out there. 8 episodes. We watch it at dinner time every night. We have one episode to go, but it's pretty good. Like this season is like the battle for the Iron Knife or whatever. So what is it? It
looks like a 3D printed knife with bad yellow spray paint.
It doesn't look great. No, it looks very, very, very cheesy. But the idea is that each challenger throughout the season is going up against an Iron Chef, and whoever the best challenger is throughout the season will then go up against all 5 of the Iron Chefs in the finale. And they do throw some curveballs in a couple of different episodes. Like one episode is actually 2 Iron Chefs versus 2 other Iron Chefs, so there's no challenger there. It's kind of a filler episode, but it's still kind of cool. It's still cool to watch. Mm-hmm. There's special ingredients, obviously. One episode had 2 challengers versus 1 Iron Chef. So they do, you know, try to keep it interesting.
Mixing it up, keeping it fresh.
But it's not on Food Network, so there's no advertisements or anything like that. So you don't have to, like, it's not be like, all right, when we come back on Iron Chef, and then you go to a commercial. It's a very cleanly paced, you know, 30, 40 minutes in, out, like, cool. I feel fulfilled, satiated, if you will.
All right. How would it compare to, say, this current season of Holy Moly, which is preparing to have its championship episode here this week?
Look, there's no comparison. Holy Moly just is the only game that matters in this world. I could die tomorrow after watching the season finale of Holy Moly, and just be happy. Like, you know, people say everybody dies alone, but if I could die while watching the season finale of Holy Moly, I don't think I ever truly was alone.
So can I tell you that Hulu is trying to work their algorithm right? And one of the only things I've been watching on Hulu lately is Holy Moly. Like, it's the show I put on when, like, I'm folding towels. Just like, I don't know what to watch. There's a new episode of Holy Moly. Throw it on. Sure. And it's great. I love it. But there was a special that ABC put out, which was the American foster dog competition or whatever, which was basically, the premise was, it was like a professional dog show, dog competition, but only with dogs that were in like shelters or whatever.
Oh.
So that it was trying to promote like shelter dogs and dog adoption. Great idea, sure. The only reason it came up in my recommendations was because the commentators for this show were Rob Riggle and
Joe Tessitore.
Joe Tessitore, right? So I was like, hey, it's the Dream Team, right? I'll check it out. It's not Holy Moly. The show is not Holy Moly.
No, it's no Holy Moly.
I got to like one ad break and was like, eh, all right, well, this isn't
just not the same. Like, not the comedy is not there.
It has its moments, but for the most part, it's not people doing absurd challenges while trying to play miniature golf. So it's like, hey, which dog is the cutest? So it just doesn't have the same kind of impact.
Sure. What I would say is, if you really want dog show based comedy, please go Christopher Guest's Best in Show.
Best in Show, a favorite movie of mine. Yeah,
so good. Okay, because I kept seeing the dog show show on Hulu. Should I try it?
No, you shouldn't.
That won't do it. Instead, I watch Holy Moly, which aired today, but won't be on Hulu until tomorrow, which is when we'll watch it. Speaking of things I'll watch tomorrow on Hulu, What We Do in the Shadows, new season. Ooh. So such a good show.
I know I've brought it up on the show. Did you watch Our Flag Means Death?
I watched an episode or two. It was all right. I didn't stick with it, obviously, but I enjoyed it.
You're more of a vampire than a pirate guy. That's fine.
Well, yeah. I think that defines our personalities. Differences pretty clearly. Yeah.
Absolutely. All right. Well, ladies and gentlemen, That's it. We have weaseled our way into another hour of entertainment content. It's definitely content. I can't say whether or not it was entertainment.
No. And so what we're going to do next is we're going to send you, put that out on Twitter, just a form that you need to fill out. If you want to tell us how you think we did or what we could do to improve, please put your email into this form, right? And we'll reach out to you and we'll do one-on-one interviews with you, just to, you know, kind of, you know, gain your insight.
We're going to try and develop sort of a persona that represents who you are as a listener, and then take that persona and develop sort of like a listener journey into how you go about your day and interact with this podcast and the emotional fluctuations that may be involved in that.
Yeah.
And then taking this information, we'll I don't know, populate some sort of backlog of items in the future that we can prioritize and then deliver on an iterative basis. I don't know, every 1 to 2 weeks.
We will sit you down and we'll ask you questions like, how disappointed would you be on a scale from 1 to 5 if we did not have any more episodes of this show? And based off that input, we will redevelop some hypothesis and really, you know, figure out how we can improve the show, create a better product for you, the listener. And that is,
you know, we're totally joking about it, but leveraging like Scrum ideas into how we develop this podcast isn't the worst idea.
It's not the worst idea. We have a Trello, so everyone who's listening, Travis went
this is definitely deep cut like post show content. So if you love this kind of discussion, make sure you're following on twitch.tv/apathetic.
But anyway, we
have a Trello.
For those who are listening right now, you're stuck with us. Travis went to a course, got certified this week. I just finished reading a book, The Lean Product Playbook. Working on our Scrum, our product management skills, and so it's big on there. But we talk about this podcast. There's a lot of when I'm reading things or in these classes, I'm thinking about like the website, I'm thinking about the podcast, I'm thinking about how we market the podcast, all these things, right? And I think back when we started doing Trello stuff, we wanted to reorganize the website and re-enhance the website. We wanted to figure out the marketing piece. We wanted to do all these things. Or even like when we had this initial thought of doing like a telethon type of thing, right? All of that
still
stuff.
Still in the backlog.
All that Kanban stuff over on Trello.
In retrospect, now that you're like reading into all this stuff, like, do you appreciate like what we were trying to do more? Like, or does it still like, I mean, cause you weren't like against it when we did it the first time, like you supported it.
No. Yeah. No. I was for it back then. Even though I haven't done that stuff still, I feel so much more knowledgeable about what the intent is. Like maybe not more knowledgeable, but more like I've reinforced the concepts because I've read more and seen it in action more lately than I did when we were initially putting out that Trello stuff a couple years back.
Cool. Well, shoot, we're gonna get into it hardcore now. We got all this time. Anyway, that's our show. Thanks for listening.
All right,
if
bye.
You didn't follow us at the beginning, go follow us on things. Say hi. Let us know how you're doing. And we love hearing about what you like and don't like about the show. So if you're new here and you just started listening, make sure you head over to whatever podcatcher you use. And rate, review this podcast. If you're watching on iTunes, Brandon is super distracting right now. And you would know that if you're watching on YouTube. So you can leave a comment, like, subscribe, do all those fun things. And stick around if you're in the Twitch, because we will do that Twitch post show immediately following this. Brandon is playing patty cake with himself and I'm Travis.
That's fun. Hey, thanks everybody for listening. And we'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Get 16-ounce packs of flavorful Angus 90% lean ground sirloin for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then buy two, get two free on 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.